Good morning. I am so happy to be here. I am blessed to see y'all's faces. I expected a small turnout. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's still some people who aren't prepared to go into public out of respect, out of weakened immune system, out of whatever the reasons. There are still people who aren't ready to come to church and worship with us. So what I ask you to do is I want you to look around and see who's here and see who's not here. What I want you to do is this week, you know who is in this church. You know who your brothers and sisters in Christ are. I want you to reach out to them. I want you to give them a phone call and just say, hey, I'm praying for you. I love you. I want you to say, I didn't see you at church, but I don't want it to be the traditional Baptist guilt trip. I didn't see you at church. I want it to be, hey, what do you need? What can I do to pray for you? I want us to actually reach out and be the church family that we're supposed to be. On Sunday afternoons, when we go to my mom's house for Sunday supper, if somebody doesn't show up, you know, we want to know why. And so we call them and we're like, I mean, sometimes we annoy them, but like, where are you? What's going on? Why aren't you here? And so church should be the same way. Church should be the same way. We are that family. We need to reach out and just comfort and love and just reflect God's love towards each other, which is what we talked about last week. So this week we're gonna continue exploring through 1 John, and we are in 1 John 5:1, and we are gonna get through 5:1 through 12 today. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that He has been born concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So Justin told us, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend, so it's the longer weekend for some. And so yesterday, my family and I, it was supposed to rain, so we weren't going to do it, but we decided to go kayaking, kind of like a last-minute thing. And I don't know if you guys have realized how much it has rained in the past couple of days, but I mean, I was walking through a parking lot, and I got dumped on, and it was so windy that only half of me was wet. Like, it looked like somebody drew a line straight down the center of my body. And that rain I get my weather alerts on my phone as river flood warnings. So we have these river flood warnings. So what is the natural and safe thing to do is to take your kids kayaking when there's a river flood warning, right? And so we went out to Hope Mills Lake, and I don't know if you guys know, but Hope Mills Lake starts as a lake, but it goes up creek for miles. And so we get into the lake and we start kayaking up creek, and it becomes an adventure pretty quick. This is now only our second time kayaking ever. So we are experts. And so we start going up lake. You know, we pass under this railroad bridge, which my daughter decided that she wanted to be bold yesterday and decided to jump off the thing. It was pretty amazing. But we pass under this railroad bridge, and we start going up this creek. And the further we go up, the more the current is coming down. And the faster it starts to move, because it narrows, and so it's the same amount of water moving through the same amount of space, but it gets narrow. And so we are paddling, like we are going back and forth and back and forth. Man, we get to some places, I felt like I was on a treadmill. Like I was like, okay, I'm not actually going anywhere. I'm kind of staying in place. But we kept going and we kept paddling upstream and we kept paddling upstream and we kept paddling upstream. And we had to work hard. I mean, I'm up here like moving. Every movement I'm feeling in my back and my arms because we had to work hard. And so the last 8 or 9 weeks, as we've been navigating through 1 John, I want to assure you that this has been the paddling upstream. The last 8 or 9 weeks, we've been doing the hard work. The last 8 or 9 weeks, we've been challenged. If you haven't been challenged in your faith, in your life, then you haven't been listening to the sermons. The last 8 or 9 weeks will make you think about how you're living your life. Will make you think about your faith. Will make you think about your salvation. Today is included. Today we are still paddling upstream. But the entire time yesterday, the entire time I was working upstream, the entire time that we were moving up, I was going, you know what? When I turn around and we go back down, it's going to be sweet. We go back down, it's not going to be a struggle. I mean, remember the expert we told you that we are? When it's that fast, it's actually not as calming and relaxing, but it was really fun. So the entire way up, it was like I was digging into the water because I knew that there was a payoff at the end. I knew that I was going to be able to turn around and go back downstream. So I'm going to tell you next week is the downstream for 1 John. Next week, we're going to close it up, and we're going to figure out, we're going to look at all of the hard work that we have been working through the past 8, 9 weeks. And John summarizes it in his letter. And we're going to get the payoff. I'm not saying there's not payoff every step along the way. But this journey has not been worth it. And I know, or has not been in vain. It's going to be worth it. And I know some of you are challenged. I've talked to some of you. I know some of you have mentioned, you know, look, like through these sermons, like I've questioned my salvation a little. It's not the intent. Examine, yes. Question, no. And so I assure you that even today and everything that we've done prior, we're putting in the hard work. We're digging into Scripture like we are supposed to do and understanding God's Word. We're not picking the easy verses. I don't know if you guys have examined your lives, but we haven't been picking the easy stuff. This week, though, we get to kind of make that turn, and we do get to taste a little bit of that victory. We do get a little bit of payoff this week. This week we get to discuss the victory in Jesus. So 1 John 5:1-5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whosoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, and we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? He begins this and he says, some of your Bibles will say whosoever, and I like whosoever better, but mine says everyone. But everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah, every person. When you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you have been born of God. So we get a couple of words in there that I want to break down, and the first one is belief. And so when we believe something in our society, it kind of takes on, okay, well, I just accept the facts. Like, okay, fine, it's just an acceptance of the facts. Well, the word that's being used here is a Greek word, it's pistuo. And in the Greek, the concept is not just an acceptance of fact. The concept is a confidence about something. A trust in something. to actually put your faith into what you believe. So it's not just believing in Christ. It's not just an acceptance of who Christ is. It's actually putting your confidence and trust into him. There's a difference there. There's a difference in belief, how it was meant when the author wrote it, and belief in how we use the term now. And there's a tense thing, right? So like back to English class, we have like past tense where it's already done happened. We have present tense. Well, the Greeks had a ton of different verb tenses. And so the concept with this one is it's active and present. So it's a belief that has been going on, that you have had, but you still have. It is a continuing belief. It's not when I was 8 years old, I believed in Jesus, and I was saved. It's not a one-time event. It's not in the past. So your belief in Christ is in the past when you accepted him and has moved you through, and it is present. It is active. It is something that you presently are doing. This belief shows that it's a love for him. A constant abiding love in him. So we've talked about belief over the last 8 weeks. I'm not gonna continue to go into it. Verse 3 and 4 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So John talks about eternal life, and it's not that simple prayer. It's this constant abiding in him. And we talk about obedience of his commandments, which we've talked about throughout the last 8 weeks. So I'm not gonna continue to beat you up over obedience. But if you haven't figured out that obedience is part of the life change that we're supposed to experience, then you haven't been listening. You haven't been reading the words that John has written. And it's not an obedience because I have to. It's an obedience because I want to. He says the commandments are not burdensome. I'm not doing it begrudgingly, just with my head down. I'm doing it because I want to honor and glorify him. I want to be obedient to Christ because I want to set the example. I want to be obedient to Christ because I love him and it's what he has told me to do. So my kayaking trip yesterday, I worked hard. So I moved from St. Louis before I came here, and this huge thing in St. Louis, and I know people do it here too, but it is huge in St. Louis. It's called floating. But so when you float, you start at the top of the river, you get your inner tubes, and you float to the bottom of the river. Right? Like, you kind of just sit down, and you go. Right? What? Like, it's relaxing, and it's fun. Usually they're drinking the entire time. So it's relaxing and fun, but really, is it as nearly as satisfying as being in that kayak and exploring and working your way up and actually putting in the work? So this one-time idea of I put my faith in Christ is like getting in that inner tube and just floating. John also uses the word born. And he uses it quite a few times in John. And so, verse 4, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." So this concept of being born is the new birth. This concept of being born is born again. It's not your first birth. It's being born of God. It's after that belief. We grow, hopefully, and the change gets more noticeable, right? The change gets more noticeable, and if you believe that Christ is the Messiah, the change becomes more noticeable, hopefully, as you grow, as you put in the work, as you move forward. It's not a check the box. It's not a get in the tube and float down the river. There's a favorite pastor saying it's not fire insurance. It's not just a box we check so we don't have to go to hell. So as we've worked through this, John has talked about false conversions and the idea of this false conversion, the idea of not being saved when you've checked the box. That's what the challenge is. That's where you've been challenged throughout these past 8 weeks, is that idea that it's not that one-time event. So I know I'm harping on it today, but it's because I want you to really examine if you've been abiding and it's a continuous belief for you, or if you just checked the box so that you had that fire insurance so you're not going to hell. He's revealed through this new birth, through our faith, that God has now overcome the world. This victory, it is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So when John talks about the world, John's not talking about the physical earth. When John talks about the world, he's talking about the culture that we live in. The culture that has purposefully and explicitly operates and set themselves apart from God. John talks about this idea of overcoming the world, that God has conquered it. So when we overcome through our faith, we're no longer a servant to that sin that had a hold of us. We're no longer held captive. We're no longer a victim. We have the victory that John promises us. We have the victory in the past when we were saved. We have the victory now because he is currently overcoming the world. It's done. It's active. Not something that comes up tomorrow that he doesn't see and that he doesn't expect to come our way. By having Christ inside of us, we have victory over it as well. So I have a close friend of mine who has an incredibly inquisitive mind. And we get into discussions regularly about God. And I love every moment of it. He argues and he challenges the things I say more than anyone else in my life. And I told him that the other day, and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry." I'm like, No. I don't want you to be sorry. I want you to continue to challenge. I want you to continue to press me. I enjoy it. It forces me to work out my doctrines, my theology. It forces me to be able to clearly convey my message in the meeting and my teachings that I want to. The conversations from when we first started talking have really changed and morphed from a secular worldview to really now we talk about a Christian worldview, but we've gotten to much, much deeper theological discussions about our current Christian worldview. Sometimes we kind of come to the stalemate at the end. And my third friend, the other guy that's in the room, usually tries to intervene and see if he can clarify something that I say or something that he says. He maybe gives a different perspective or just kind of like stands back and tosses a monkey wrench in the middle just to see what's going to happen. But as we've been going through these conversations, his faith has been growing deeper. And I attribute that fully to the Holy Spirit. I attribute that fully to the Holy Spirit that is in his life. When he and I are both in the Word, the conversation goes, it's amazing. It's about God. It's about Scripture. it's based on a Christian worldview, and it's really just exploring the deeper things of Jesus and deeper things of his word. When one of us is slacking, though, on the other hand, it's not that way. When one of us is slacking on the word, through our prayer life, through surrender to the Holy Spirit, when one of us is slacking, it's not a beneficial conversation, it's a frustrating conversation for both of us. When the Holy Spirit is centered in our lives, when the Holy Spirit is centered in our lives, and we are practicing our spiritual disciplines, and we are walking with him, our conversations, our relationships, everything is better. So as we kind of take that next bend in the river, and John on this journey talks about the verification of Jesus. Verse 6 through 8, "This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree." So we've talked about Gnostics kind of towards the beginning of this, and this is really the primary false teachers that John is writing to. And this Gnosticism is the idea of there's this secret knowledge, and it's just straight this intellectual pursuit. And so when John is confronting these false teachers, he to battle their particular teaching, he talks about the three components: the water, the blood, and the Spirit. And he says, through these three witnesses, John verifies that Jesus is both human and that Jesus is divine. And when he says these three agree, he's kind of taking a kind of going back to the Old Testament. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy. Well, I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy 19:15. In Deuteronomy 19:15, it reads, "A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses shall a charge be established." And so by referencing the witnesses and the testimony, he's referencing Jewish law, and he wants to make sure that he's presenting this case for Christianity. He wants to verify who Jesus is. So when he talks about the water, there's a lot of disagreement and speculation as to what the water actually is. When he talks about the water, what that means. And it really boils down to two options. The water either means his original birth. I didn't silence my phone. The water doesn't mean... the water either means the original birth, or it means his baptism when he began his ministry. Well, if he's talking about the original birth, he's talking about that he was born fully human. And if he's talking about his baptism, he's saying he was baptized into the ministry from John the Baptist. Now, I just want to be clear. Sometimes there's a misunderstanding. John the Baptist and the Apostle John are two different people. So the author who wrote this is the Apostle John. John the Baptist met a very untimely end. And then he talks about the blood. The blood is the crucifixion. The blood is the price that he paid as the sacrifice for our sins. And so what the blood represents is the blood represents his deity. Because without the sacrifice, without the penalty, without paying the price for our sins, no man could have done that. No man being sacrificed for our sins would have been sufficient to answer for everything that we had done. So he's standing here and he's saying, look, Jesus is fully human in the water, and Jesus is fully God by the blood. And then he wants to come off the top rope and say, look, and the Spirit testifies to this. The Spirit is the one who testifies because the Spirit is truth. So much like that conversation between my friend and I, no matter how persuasive either one of us is, when the Spirit speaks, which he did in every word in this book, when the Spirit speaks, it is truth. And we are to submit to his word. We are to submit to his teaching. Not what we want it to say, because that would be a lot easier. Not picking and choosing. That would be easier as a preacher. But the Spirit speaks, it is the truth. So I kind of sound like a broken record, or at least I feel like I do. The Holy Spirit needs to be at the center of your life. If that seems weird to you, you haven't been listening. The Holy Spirit has such a significant role in your day-to-day life. If you only talk about the Father or you only talk about the Son, and the Holy Spirit is not a part of your life, you are not reading what this says. If you are not in perfect harmony with the Holy Spirit, that is what you should be striving to be. I'm not. But my daily prayer to God is, Father God, let me fully surrender to the Spirit. Let me fully surrender to your will. Your relationship and dependence on him should be fully reliant. I know as Americans, we don't rely on anybody, but you should be fully reliant upon the Spirit. Full submission. He has full authority over your life. Every decision you make should be with the thought of what does God, how do I honor God in this? And if I don't know how I honor God in this, then I submit to the Spirit and I pray to God and I ask him, Father, how do I honor you in this? John is ensuring that in this unofficial trial, because that's what he's doing, he's basically presenting a case, in this unofficial trial of who Christ is, that he brings enough evidence to persuade the opinion of the church by the testimony of the water, the blood, and the Spirit. Is that enough? So in my life, I've been really blessed. I've been blessed with a pretty amazing family. I've been blessed with an amazing church family. I've been blessed with amazing brothers in the motorcycle club ministry. I'm just genuinely blessed with the people that I have in my life. And I trust quite a few people, but there are a few people in my life that I would go as far as to tell you I trust implicitly. And I trust them so much that because they have set a track record of always being honest. Always. Even at their detriment. I mean, they have been so honest with me that they know that when they're honest with me, they are going to pay a price. They're going to have to deal with my anger. They're going to have to deal with punishment. Or they may not. I may just be just so dumbfounded that they've shared with me. So there's three people in my life that I want to talk about today. That when they speak to me, when they talk to me, I take them at their word 100% of the time. One of them is my wife. My wife has said things to me that I know she hasn't wanted to say to me. She doesn't lie to me by commission or by omission. And what I mean by that is she doesn't lie to me to my face. And she doesn't lie to me by leaving things out just as long as I don't ask. If I don't ask, it ain't a lie. That's in the lie by omission. It's still a lie. She doesn't do either one of those. So when she speaks to me, I take her at her word. The other two I want to talk about are my daughters, Grace and Faith. They have told me things I cannot believe. And when I look at them and I ask them a question, I can tell they don't want to answer me half the time, but they will be so honest and open with me that when they speak to me, I take them at their word. I don't have to grill my kids. And I'm willing to grill my kids, but I don't have to. And I have other people in my life that I trust. But those three, when they speak to me, when they tell me something, I can trust what they say. Their integrity is impeccable. I'm not saying they don't screw up, but 99% of the time, their integrity is impeccable. When they testify to the truth, I listen. 1 John 5:9. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has been born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So I got to stand up here and brag to you about how amazing my family is. I got it. Who in your life do you trust? Who in your life, when they speak, you know they are telling you the truth? There's got to be somebody that when they talk to you, you know they're always honest with you. And when they talk to you, you know that you know, A, you know where you stand with them. And B, you know when they open their mouth, that truth comes out. Is it your spouse? Some of you may not trust anyone. And that's a different sermon for a different day. Whoever believes in the Son of God has testimony in himself, but whoever does not believe in God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has been born concerning his Son. So if you could come up with that person whose word you trust implicitly, what they tell you, you believe, they are nothing compared to God. Their word is nothing compared to the word of God. They can be fallible. God is not. They can be always honest. God is truth. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Well, I don't know if you remember, but just a second ago, he just talked about the Spirit is the testimony. So he's promising us again that when we believe, we have the Spirit inside of us. We have the Spirit inside of us. If the Holy Spirit is not central in your life, you are doing this wrong. If you make your decisions on a regular basis without the Spirit in consult, you are living wrong. If you are doing it on your own, you are doing it wrong. And there's times I'll go like a week when I have realized that I just tried to do that entire week by myself. And so I go to God to confess that sin. I go to God to confess the fact that, Father, I don't know what I've been doing this week. I've been praying to you, but I've been doing everything on my own. That is not who we're called to be. Imagine calling God a liar. The creator and the giver of the moral law, creator of all things, truth, love. Imagine calling him a liar and not believing in Christ Jesus. By having Christ, we have validation in Christ. The testimony inside of us, the faith, it's validation in Jesus. It's a weird transition, and I know hopefully all of you can relate to this, but if not, it'll be close. When you accepted Christ, you stopped worrying about whether or not Jesus was truly the Son of God. When you accepted it, you had that belief, and no longer was it about, is it true, is it not true? Then it became about, how do I serve him? How do I serve God? Verse 11, end of 11 and 12, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Eternal life in God cannot be separated from his Son. One way to heaven. One way to eternal life. John is validating that Jesus is the only way to receive that eternal life. You have Jesus, you go to heaven. I love how John doesn't mince words. You don't have Jesus, you go to hell. Clear, concise, straightforward, honest, truthful, and loving. Not multiple ways, not the loopholes that we always look for. And the only testimony that's necessary is that God's recorded in his word. So I want to encourage you this morning. I want to lift you up and examine your life. You have Christ or you don't have Christ. Everything else that we've talked about is the fruit of that eternal life. The love that we've talked about, the obedience that we've talked about is the fruit of that life. But it starts with you have Jesus or you do not have Jesus. If you believe, then you have, you are presently having, and you will have victory over the world. Those sins that have a hold on you, those temptations that have a hold on you, you're not a slave to them. You may feel like you are, but that's because you're doing it on your own. That's because the Holy Spirit is not central in your life. Quit being the victim. God has overcome the world, not so that you could be enslaved to it. God has presented victory, not so you could be enslaved. That belief, though, needs to be constant, consistent, abiding, not a one-time thing. So I want you to think about this. I ask you a question. Has the world overcome you throughout this pandemic? Through your marriages, through your families, through your friendships, through your school, through everything. Has the world overcome you? Are you being obedient to the commandments of the Lord? Or are you being obedient to your desires? Fleshly desires. Are you being obedient to the commandments of the Lord? If you say yes, are you being obedient out of the desire, this pure and loving desire to serve him? Or are you being obedient because that's what it says to do and you're just following the rules? That burden. What is it in your life? When are you going to honor not only God's testimony of Christ, but when are you going to honor the promise of the Holy Spirit inside of you? When are you going to honor the victory that is promised to you through the Holy Spirit? When are you going to surrender to him and allow your relationship to mature with him? I want you to focus this week on a singular struggle that you have in your life. This isn't we're going to change our lives from this point forward. Everything's going to be better. I want you to focus on a singular struggle that you have in your life this week. Laziness, anger, greed, hate, lack of love, porn, alcohol, drugs, distractions. I want you to pick one struggle that you have in your life this week. One. I want you to pray 1 John 5, 1 through 5, every day. Yeah, I want you to pray the scripture. I want you to go to God, I want you to read the scripture, and I want you to pray that scripture. 1 John 5, 1 through 5, every day, in direct relation to that singular struggle. We're going to take baby steps. One thing. One. One struggle. He has promised to overcome the world. He has promised victory in Him. If you don't know what I'm talking about, this is how you experience it. One struggle. Pray 1 John 5, 1 through 5 every single day for the next week. Surrender your life to His will. Consult the Spirit when that struggle starts to rear its ugly head. Please bow your heads. Imagine the victory you can have in your life through Christ. For everyone who has been born of God, God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you haven't even placed your faith, your believing faith, your saving faith in Christ yet, then I urge you this morning to taste that victory that I'm talking about. I urge you this morning to come and talk to me after service. Listen to that voice, that small voice inside of you that's convicting you of what I was speaking about this morning, that's convicting you that you don't know Jesus.